Now we are continuing in Mishlei Perek Hei, Pesukim Zayin to Chav Gimel. I mentioned last time the Pasuk Yutes. Ayeles Ahovim Vial Aschein Badeo Yovucha B'choleis Ba'avosa Tishke Tomit. The Rambam quotes this Pasuk at the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia. The Rambam there is speaking about the Isur of Yichud and Hirhurim, and the Rambam says in Halacha Yudches, the reason I'm mentioning this is not merely because the Rambam uses this pasuk and it happens to be the pasuk that we're learning in Mishlei Perek Hei. The reason is because Divrei Torah Tzrichim Chizuk and the Yetzahara, the Sutton on Avenue J, is mislabesh in a malbush of not wearing a malbush. That's the Sutton has different kinds of malbushim. You know, so this malbush in the summertime, and the summer is getting longer and longer. In fact, in that respect, in some places, it's summer even in January. The Rambam says like this: Ein lucha dava b'chol ha'toyra kula shehu kasha l'roif ha'am ela lifreish min ha'arayos v'habiyos ha'asurais. So the Rambam is spelling it out. He's not mincing words. He says it's the hardest thing in the whole Torah. The hardest thing. Not Shabbos, not even Lashon Hara. He says there's nothing harder than to be Pirish min Arayus min Abiyas Asuras. And of course it means with all the Da'abizrayu. It doesn't mean necessarily that someone is over the Averis HaChamuris and Rizchayiv Misa. Abba Fendesvegen. Omru Chachomim. B'shosh and itztavu Yisrael alo arayos bochu v'kiblu mitzvah zu b'tar oimes u'bibchia shenemar boicha l'mishpachosav al iskei mishpachos. L'mishpachosav is a funny word, because what does it mean that they cried in the family sense? L'mishpachosav. You speak about boicha, a person cries, he cries himself. What is Baicha L'mishpachosav? What is the L'mishpachosav adding? So Chazal said that L'mishpachosav is explaining the reason for why they were crying. They were crying because now the concept of Mishpacha, the concept of marriage, the concept of union, of conjugal union, took on an entirely different color, which was apparently very unexpected, and apparently something that caused them a tremendous amount of grief. And it says kiblu mitzvah zu. So the shaila is, you know, there's a whole Torah there, and there are certain mitzvahs that apparently they were makabu ba'avo b'simcha. But when it came to this particular nekuda, so it's a gegrizhet, and they were very resistant, and they were makabu it with bechia and ta'aroimus. Ta'aroimus means distress, frustration, anger, resentment, whatever, the whole thesaurus. That's in the word tyrannus. Shenema boichel mishpachosav al iskei mishpachos. V'amru Chazal, the Rambam continues, gezol v'arayis nafshu shel adam misavelohem u'mecham dosam. There's a natural desire in the person for arayis and for gezol. You notice that gezol and arayis are the two pillars that course through Sefer Mishlei in the explanations of the Vilna Gaon in his Pirush, the Taiva, and there is a Yetzirah, a Satan, which is for physical Taiva, and there's a Yetzirah, a Satan for power, for control. And Gezel is a chelik of that. Gezel and Ritzicha and all of those things. You want to be the number one. So kina and taiva and kavod matzina sadam in olam. Taiva is taiva, and kina and kavod are two sides of a coin, which is the other tzad of the ma'ase satan. So the gezel and arayus, these two in yonim, are natural instincts. A person wants to be barash. A person wants to be numero uno. A person wants to lord it over others. A person wants that he should be recognized. And all of this is included in the word gezel. I want what you have, because then I have it and you don't have it. Then I am more than you. And that's where the whole parsha of Kina comes in. And then Arayus, I have physical needs, physical desires. It's the pleasure principle, that which makes me feel better. It gives me power, makes me feel better. Those are the two vortexes, the two fulcrums of the Maisa Sotna. So Gezel va'arayis napsha shal odem is avalohem u'mecham dosam. Fa'eina ta moitze kohol v'chol zman u'zman she'ein bohen prutzim ba'arayis u'bebiyos asuras. Now the Rambam here is telling us an unbelievable thing. You know what he's telling us? Could have the biggest, most wonderful group of Yirei Shamayim. You could have a kehila that is mamish, a kehila kadisha. And in that kehila you will find people who are prutzim ba'arayis. Eina to meitzei kohol b'chol zman uzman, at any time in history, she'ein b'hem prutzim ba'arayis u'bebiyos asuras. Amru chachomim roiv b'gezel miyut ba'arayis v'hakol ba'avak loshen horov. The fikach roi loy la'odam lokov yitzchoy b'dovazeu l'hagil atzmei b'gdusha yisera u'b'machshova tahoro u'b'da'as nechoyna k'day li'notzol mehem. If we would have time, it would be our responsibility to look carefully at each one of these phrases. The Rambam says, Roi lo la'odam lokuf yitzroi bedovazeh, to bend his yetzer, to force his yetzer, to overcome his yetzer. That's number one. Ula hargil atzmai b'kedusha yisera. The Rambam says that the antidote for machshavos which are natural to a person is to flood his heart and his mind with thoughts of Kedusha and Tahara. There is no room then for the thoughts of Arayis. Lahargil Atzmai means it's a constant struggle and a constant effort, and it's a need to make natural that which is not natural, to overcome that which begins by being natural, to make that no longer natural. A person is born with taiva. A person is fighting to overcome it, has to be margil himself. Once he becomes a rugil b'kedusha, the natural instinct becomes less natural. I don't know if you could ever get rid of it completely, but it becomes, when kedusha becomes second nature, that instinct dissipates. And then the Rambam says, the Kedusha Yisera u'b'machshava tahoira u'b'da'as nechoina. What's Kedusha Yisera? Is hanhoga. It's maisa. Machshava is machshava. What's da'as nechoina? If we would have said, the Kedusha Yisera u'b'machshava tahoira, what's b'da'as nechoina? So I think that the Rambam is here telling us a yesod. The whole parsha of Arayis, you should forgive me, is the stupidest thing in the whole world. And I am always compelled about the Maisa in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Here's a person that's about to do an Aveira with a Zayna. And something happens, and she lets out a bad odor. We're in the Beis Medrash, I don't want to spell it out graphically, but she lets out a bad odor in the middle of Bishas Maisa, and all of a sudden the whole thing changes, because 99% of this taiva is fantasy. You know, the whole of Hollywood is based on these two words. They don't know it, and they never learned this Rambam. But the whole of Hollywood is based on a comprehension that the Rambam adds the words u'b'das nechoina. The clarity of thinking that does not allow the delusion, the obfuscation, the futility of fantasy. Because the whole of Arayis, it's spelled out in that Maisa, in Maseches Avodah Zarah. It's also spelled out in the words of Chazal, Isha Chemos Moleitzoya, Ufiha Moleidam, Fahakol Ratzimachareha. Nothing could be more clear. When you're ma'ayin in the biology of the thing, and the what they call in Chazal oisay makim, you realize that it's a makim haturfa, which is a makim also, which is a source of elimination and other things as well. So the idea that there's a specific type for something like that is inherently absurd to the person who has a day on the chayna. So you have to suspend your day on the chayna. And the suspension of that day on the chayna is the engine that drives $1 trillion industry in the world. Because the whole thing is to create a fantasy. And the whole thing is make-believe. And the whole thing is not real. And the reality is somewhere else. And if the day of Nechayna is engaged, then that reality that is real is going to become front row center, and the fantasy is going to fall away. So there are two inyonim that we take for granted. The Maisa has to be pure. You have to be in the right places, do the right things. The machshava has to be pure. A person's mind should not be involved with these inyonim. But what's Deya Nechayna? What's that adding in the Rambam? What's that third element? The answer is clarity of perception. The minute a person has that clarity, he can no longer see with the fantastic eye. He can no longer imagine things that attract him. Because inherently the thing is not attractive at all. That's the irony of ironies. So shmutz kazach be'etzim. That's necessary. But the taiva confounds us into thinking that it's the most wonderful and most beautiful and most attractive thing in the world. So Deya Nechayna confronts that and dispels the fantasy, and the clarity already is a different story altogether. Nobody's enamored and taken by that clarity. So you've won the war. You've beaten the Satan at his game. That concept of Deya Nechayna is what happened when that moment occurred. It's like the lights went on. You know, everybody turns the lights off. You know why you turn the lights off? Because without the lights, you can imagine. With lights, you can't imagine. And when that episode happened, and it turned out that not only was she just a human being and not a dream, not only was she, but she was less than a human being. At that moment, that bad odor came out from practically the same area. So all of a sudden, the lights went on in a bad way. And you know what she said to him? In the same way that I can't undo this revelation, and I can't make the fantasy happen anymore tonight, so too you will not be able to remove yourself from Gehenna. And he took this so to heart, and a very interesting Musa Shmuz, and a very interesting Baal Musa. He took this to heart, and the rest is history. Yesh kaino elama b'sho'achas. That's what he speaks about when he says Deya Nechayna. The whole photography, the whole image. You know, you cannot imagine. Maybe you can. Maybe you know more than I do. How much avoida and chachma goes in to producing just the right color, just the right image, just the right camera angle, just the right lens, just the right poster. So that what is pulling? What knows? What is making the decision? What principle am I trying to achieve when I use that camera and I shadow the lens, or I create a filter? And something is soft and something is harsh. What am I driving at? What's guiding me? What's driving my sophisticated work? The answer is, what will make this more fantasy and less Deya Nechayna by the person that sees it in the end? And the millions and millions of dollars are spent. And that's why whenever you have an advertisement for a car or for a cereal, you're going to have a beautiful woman standing next to the cereal. I mean, it's tochnei revayim. Imagine a person comes to this with a day in the chayna. He says, bunch of shaitim. That's going to make the nutrition of the cereal more. It's going to fill me better. It's going to make me healthier. or the car is going to drive better. You know, it's fantasy. It's part of the same fantasy. I always say, they tell a fellow in New York City that's going on the BQE, on the Gowans, or he's going on the what's it called, going to the George Washington Bridge, the Bronx, Cross Bronx Expressway. Person goes on the Cross Bronx Expressway, generally the miles per hour is 0.5 mile per hour. So they tell you you should buy a car. So what do they try to convince you? This car accelerates from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. It's a very wichtige Sache to know. When I'm going 0.5 mile an hour, bumper to bumper, says good service nas, I am sitting in the car. The guy in front of me, he's sitting in a car that from 0 to 60 takes him 1 minute. And I can do it in 4 seconds. If lu yitzuya, you know, like it's a Gemara car, but lu yitzuya is what given azoy. It's a chnoi revoyim. What's the teretz? The teretz is you want to show that you have something that somebody else doesn't have. The fact that in your entire life, if you're living in New York, you're never going to use it, is irrelevant. But this car goes from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. So if you have the day on the chayna, then you're not taken with the such narishkeit. What do you want to know? You want to know if this car can survive driving at 0.5 mile an hour. So you want a good air conditioning, whatever it is. That's the nekuda. And a person who has a day in the chayna in everything, there's fantasies galore, not just in arayos. Fantasies galore. The whole idea of making money is the worst of fantasies. It's a fantasy. Parnasa is not a fantasy. Parnasa is a bitter thing. Of making money, the idea of more money and more money, that's Trump Towers. Trump Towers is the biggest fantasy in the world. A person should have his name on every building. On every building. What is the pshat in that? The teretz is, he's an idiot. If he's listening, he should be Michael May. He's an idiot. You don't think so? Yes, I told you he's an idiot. Eddie Abikitsa, this is the Nakud of Day and the Chayin. It's a Meridika Daher. Then the Rambam says like this. V'yizoher min ha-yichud shehu ha-goyrim ha-godol. Person's no right. This is the classic Ani Ekra V'loy Ate that they have in B'negeah Shabbos. I'll read Lo'er Haneir and I'm not going to tip the candelabrum. It doesn't work like that. Person can't say, I'll be misyached and nothing's going to happen. You can trust me. So the Rambam says an amazing thing. Yizoyer min ha-yichud shehu ha-goyreim ha-godol. By the way, those people who suggest that B'negeah, the internet, the best Eitzah is to apply to that computer Hilchos Yichud. I have a friend who's a letz. He says, I don't go in unless there are 3 computers. So, but a person who applies Hilchos Yichud to a computer, they're right on target. Because when you go in with a chaver or your wife or whatever it is, or your daughter, you, there's certain things you just can't do. And that's it. Gandik's end of story, as they say. So the Rambam says here, V'yizor min ha-yichud sh'agor ma-godol g'dol l'chachomim ha-yo-omim l'talmidei m'yizoru bi b'pnei biti yizoru bi m'pnei kalosi k'dei l'lamed l'talmidei sh'lo yizbaishu m'dobar zeh v'yisrachaku min ha-yichud. What does it mean, lo yizbaishu? So they tell a maisa with Rebbe Lapian that he jumped out the window, nearly killed himself. What's the pshat? Lo yizbaishu? Because the pshat is like this. Whenever a person goes around being very makbid in these inyonim, there's a feeling on the part of the observer, what is he so busy with this stuff for? Why is it so nogeya to him? Is he really that, you know, orangutan in these inyonim? Does he really think that something could happen? Now, I told you the maaseh, I mentioned it many, many times. I had a Talmud who came back from Eretz Yisrael in the summertime. His father and mother are in a bungalow colony. He refuses to go to the bungalow colony. His father asks him why. Kibud Av. He says, what are you talking about? There's no mechitza to the pool. No mechitza to the pool. They didn't swim together, but there was no mechitza. So the father says to him, I don't understand you. I, who never went to Eretz Yisrael, and I hardly went to yeshiva, and it doesn't bother me at all. So why does it bother you so much? What did you learn in that yeshiva anyhow? So this is the law. You're not supposed to be mizbayish. A person has a halacha, the halacha is a halacha, and if you have to acknowledge that you're makbir on the halacha, a person should never be mizbayish from others that he's makbir on halacha. That's what Chazal say, better. V'chein yinoig l'srachik min aschoik, u'min ashichus, u'midivre agovim. He just eliminated 90% of what goes on outside this base medrash. Schoik, shichrus, and divrei agovim. She'elu germim gedolim heim v'heim ma'alos shel arayis. These are the stepping stones to reach arayis. Ma'alos shel arayis. That's what the Rambam says. V'lo yeshe b'lo isha she'minig zeh gorim l'tara gedola. Persons with a wife, she protects him. Yeseira mikol zois amru. Yefana atzma yomachshavta l'divrei Torah. V'yarchiv daite b'chochma. That's Deya Nechayna. The Rambam says that the first thing, no yichud. Second thing, stay away from the garmim. What are the garmim? The Rambam says the garmim is chok, levity, fun, hul yurai, min ashichrus, drinking, midivra agovim. Divra agovim covers everything that has to do with women. You know, stay away, wine, women, and songs. Stay away from it. Divra agovim. What's the best way? What's the number one protection? So the Rambam comes to the clincher, the denouement, as they say. Yeseira mikol zos, more than everything else. Amru yifana atzmai umachshavtei l'divrei Torah. He turns to divrei Torah. He empties his heart and his mind from everything else. Yarchiv daitei b'chochma. Why? She'ein machsheves arayos misgaberes ela b'leiv ponui min achochma. Because where does arayos take hold? If the person's vessel is bereft of chochma, is empty, is lacking in chochma, chochma satayra. That could have been the last words of the Rambam, and we would have understood it perfectly. But they are not the last words of the Rambam. The last words of the Rambam are our pasuk. The Rambam says, "Ubechachma hu oimer." What does it say? Benoigeya to chachma, bechachma hu oimer. Ayelis ahavim v'yal aschein, tadeho yervucha bechol eis ba'avosa tishge tamid. This is the end of Hilchos Yisurei Biyah, by the way. What is the pshat? So my thinking always was, and I've looked at this Rambam many, many more than 100 times. My thinking always was about this Rambam. 100, maybe 1,000. This Rambam is telling me that the best way not to be involved with a biological woman is to be involved with a more beautiful spiritual woman. But a woman just the same. But what am I talking about? What the Rambam is telling me is very compelling. He says that learning is not an intellectual activity alone. And learning is not neutral. It's not gender neutral. Learning is a beautiful woman. Where is the mashal that learning is a beautiful woman? It's very interesting. Chazal tell us, Motza Isha, Motza Taif. Zok de Gemara. Kama toiva isha toiva, how wonderful is a wonderful wife. So what's the next few words of that Gemara? Because the pasuk says motza isha motza toiv. So if it's talking literally, then the pasuk tells it to you. Motza isha motza toiv. So an isha is a good thing. But maybe you'll argue with me, says the Gemara, implies the Gemara, that it's not referring to a real woman, it's referring as an image to Torah. As if it would say, Motza Torah, Motza Toiv. But instead of using the word Torah, they use an image, Isha. Just like in many Mishalim. So, Im, it's talking about Torah, says the Gemara, kama taiva isha taiva shehat taira nimshala baha. In other words, when you're using a mashal for a nimshal, then the mashal must be good if the nimshal is good. If the mashal wouldn't be good, then how could you use it for taira? So either way, says the Gemara, no matter which way you go, pshat or mashal, an isha taiva is a very special thing. Kama taiva isha taiva. Ich will wissen, why is it that the Gemara insists that matzah isha matzah toiv is a mashal for taira? Maybe it's a mashal chveis for shmir Shabbos. Maybe it's a mashal for tzedakah. How do you know that it's a mashal for taira? The teretz is, and I once wrote a whole kuntras about this, mamish about 100 pages. It's in one of my kuntras, in one of my chiburim. That matzah isha matzah toiv reveals to me that the proper level of relationship with Torah is that Torah is also your wife, and that she's perpetually beautiful, and that she never ages, and that she is always ready for you. It's an amazing concept that Yiddishkeit has its own, you should forgive me because now I'll put it in quotation marks, has its own fantasy. And this fantasy, says the Rambam, is the antidote, because you need a fantasy to have to be an antidote to a fantasy. And this fantasy says, embrace it, cherish it, love it, kiss it, hug it, whatever you want. And the connection, the connectedness that a person is always yearning for in the other area, which is all imagined, because everybody knows that beauty and substance have very little to do with each other. And you could have the most perfect person who happens to be physically unattractive, and you could have a person who's super attractive physically and there's absolutely nothing there. Or even worse, a person's a devil, a rashanta. So what does the surface have to do with the etzem? Nothing. But the attraction is to the surface. So how do you create an antidote to that? The answer is, you create a more compelling fantasy. And that fantasy is that the Torah is suddenly an almost biological entity, an almost physical entity. And its attraction is overwhelming. You know, a lot of people learn Torah because it's a mitzvah. You never find anyone that succeeds in Torah. Never. You will never find anyone that succeeds in Torah who cannot transcend that point, who does not engage Torah almost as a person and is madly in love. This is just the simplest way of putting it. You have to be madly in love. So you'll open up many sfarim. But for example, the Eglei Tal. So the Eglei Tal says in many mitzvahs, if you're going to do the mitzvah, and you have personal negiyas, and you get excessive pleasure from it per se, it might even be a pegam in the mitzvah. It might be a chesar in the l'shem shamayim of the mitzvah. But when it comes to Torah, the hanah that you have is a chelik of mitzvah ha-Torah, and it is that chibur, that is chabrus, in an almost biological sense. That's what I meant by fantasy in quotation marks. Is what compels the person to reach levels that require tremendous mesiras nefesh. The mesiras nefesh for Torah is found in the person who has completely bought into this very holy fantasy of ayeles ahavim v'yalas chein dadeha yervucha. The breasts will nourish you. What are we talking about? We're talking about words. We're talking about concepts. Imagine a person feeling that way about E equals MC squared. Maybe you could. But the whole Torah is a dadeo yevucha ba'ahavasa tishge tomit. You know what tishge means? Completely absorbs you. It just eats you up. There's nothing else. You know, when a person is nuts in love, he becomes suddenly a warped person. day is night, night is day. Important things suddenly become trivial. He could give up his life, he could give up his job, he could give up his senses. I mean, he does things that later on, baboika b'tzei sayayin, as it were, he says to himself, what, was I crazy? What seized me? What insanity seized me? The Teretz says, yeah, that's exactly what happened. An insanity seized you. That's ba'avos or tishke tomet. Is that possible with Torah? So that's an amazing thing. So the Rambam is telling me, b'kitzer, that the only way, ultimately, I can overcome this incredible Yetzer Hara, which is wrapped and enveloped in a super fantasy, which I can't seem to escape, is by immersing myself in that incredible sense of Torah becoming a persona, and I am madly in love with that persona, and that takes up my entire threshold of awareness, so that nothing else can happen, because nothing else exists. Now, of course, it's a tremendous madrega in learning Torah. So one can never suggest that this is good enough and you can forget about all the other things. It's the other way around. It starts with the yichud being very seriously taken into consideration. You have to be medaktik and makbid in it 1,000%. You have to stay away from the schoik and from the shichrus and from the divrei agavim 100%. But with all of that, it's not going to be enough. What you really need is another wife. Another woman. Sounds almost crass. But that other woman is the opposite of crass. It's Kedusha, and it's Tara, and it's Nikius, and it's Yirah Shamayim. That other woman is Torah. Now let's go back to the Goyin for a moment on that pasuk. It was a very interesting expression, akeres habayis. Moshivi akeres habayis eim habonim smecha. Very interesting turn of phrase, because in its original sense, l'cha'ora, what did it mean? What do we say? Mikimi may offer dol, may ashbois yorim evyon. So what is the contrast here? The before and the after. Before is terrible. Person's bishfal hamatzav. He's all the way down on the bottom of the ladder. May offer dol. He's in the offer. He's in the dust of the earth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts up that dol, that poor, poverty-stricken fellow who's in the dust of the earth, may offer. And he lifts him higher until Mekimi. Yorim Evyoin may ashpois. From the dumps, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Evyoin and he lifts him up. Leishivi, how high? How high? Leishivi im nedivim im nedivei amai. He takes the person who is down, 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 and he lifts him up, up, up. To such an extent that he's now amongst the most noble, the most wealthy, the most capable. Same says the Pasuk, continuing in the Hallel. Moshivi akeres habayis, that this akara, who did not have any children, she is now what?
Eim
abonim smecha. She is the mother, she rejoices, because she is now the mother of children. Now everybody understands that metaphor, that there's nothing that a mother wants more, that a woman wants more than to be a mother. And she's an akara. Now take a look at this phrase. We tell a person, Baruch Hashem, they have 10 children in the household. He introduces his wife, this is my akeres habayis. So what is akeres habayis? From what word?
Ikar.
Right? Ikar. Ikar shebabayis. The mainstay of the house. The pillar of the house. The foundation of the house. Akeres habayis. Interesting, we don't have time for it right now. How did this happen? That, you know, the pshat of bereft of children and the mainstay of the house. Aber wir sollen nicht sein, Vilna Gaon says that this expression, Ba'avosa Tishge Tomid, emphasizing the word Tomid, right, is the image and the principle which is called Akeres Habayis. Shehi Akeres Habayis, Lochei Ne'emar Bo Tomid. So what is the analogy to Torah? The Vilna Gaon always sees details as requiring a further analysis. What does each represent in its specific prat? Zokt Gaon Azay. If we're replying it to Torah, Ayelas Ahavim Hu Soides HaTorah, V'yalas Chein Hu Remez Dadeo Yervucha B'Choleis Hu Drush Shemarve B'Choleis. It always nourishes you. It always makes you irrigated, as it were. Ba'avosa tishge tamid hu pashut pshat. Very interesting. Lachain tishge by tamid b'li hefse klal. V'omar ad ayelis ahavim zayin dvarim. He goes through. We won't continue this right now. I want to emphasize the Ba'avosa Tishke Tamid for a second. I think that it's important in the analogy to dwell upon something. A lot of people have the mistaken notion that what attracts you in Torah is the sophisticated, whatever you want to call it. You can't really use adjectives here, because whatever you'll say is wrong. And that's my point, really. But you know, the heavy stuff. You know, the things that most people don't know, or the things that might capture, quote-unquote, capture your imagination. So if a person is learning, then, you know, if he doesn't say this brisker Torah, or if he doesn't have this understanding of the Zayar, so the day-to-day learning, like, it's not. It doesn't have the depth. It doesn't have the charm. So the Gaon is telling me something here. He's telling me that when you look at this pasuk, Ayeles Ahavim, Yalas Chein, Tadeho Yervucha, Bavosa Tishke Tamid, you have Pirush Rash Remez and Sod. Four expressions of a love affair. And which one is Tamid? Pshat. Meir de Gezach. So I wanted to make a suggestion. I mean, I'm not talking about practical, I'm talking about a suggestion in understanding the Gaon. Enoch Anami, there's no question that the deeper and the more clear something is on the higher levels, there's no question that your amorous instincts are very much enhanced and engaged. There's no shy about it. But there's something about constant learning. Constant learning. The Ba'avosa Tishke Tamid is a two-way street. And I'll tell you why. Because In the manner of my connectedness to Torah, it's impossible, maybe if you're the Vilna Gaon, but it's generally impossible to be on a high all the time. And you know what I was thinking? And this is exactly Ba'avosa Tishke Tamid. Who is the Ba'avosa Tishke Tamid? The Akeres Habayis. Let me ask you a simple question. There's the initial attraction when a person gets married just at the beginning. And now we're talking about 50 years and many grandchildren later. That physical attractiveness, if anyone's going to say that he still has that same physical attractiveness, he has to be a liar. It's not shaykh. Not shaykh for many reasons. Familiarity breeds contempt, and if it doesn't breed contempt, it doesn't breed attraction either. And the biology changes, and the person changes, and life's experience change a person. It's a certain maturation process where old ideas, you know, are silly. There's a silliness to youth, which is attractive in youth, but it's very unattractive when you get older. People mature, they grow, they change. You know, one of the things about Bas Kufke Bas Zayin is exactly saying that she was unique. But people generally go from stage to stage. Now, if a person goes from stage to stage, what is more Ahava, the 50-year-old Ahava or the just married Ahava? So anybody who has any sense of what Ahava is, almost according to any interpretation, real Ahava, knows that 50 years with a person, successful years, happy years, develops an Ahava that is just indescribable. Because the ultimate ahava is total union. That's what it is, total union. And the attractiveness of the flesh can never achieve total union. Because the thing that's motivating you is not you. So how could it be total union? There are always two people apart. That's why you could have this tremendous attraction and 5 days later you discover they got divorced. What's the pshat in that? The teretz of Akeres Habayis is that the hasmada creates the union. And hasmada can only be with pshat. No one can peak all the time. No one can reach the ultimate consistently. As I say, unless you're the Vilna Goy. If you have a Maggid, the Beis Yosef has a Maggid. The Maggid tells the Beis Yosef, you should know that your Torah people will learn it for the rest of all history. I mean, if I went and I told you that, I just had a dream last night, and they said that my Torah people will learn for the rest of history. Say, never, the guy is such an unbelievable Baal Gaiva that he even dreams about it. But the Beis Yosef, when he had a Maggid, he had a Maggid. There's nothing to talk about. There's absolutely nothing to... Lamaisit was fulfilled. You see, the Beis Yosef Sefer was written at that time. If he wrote it today, you could say, yeah, well, of course, now in retrospect, you can write anything you want. But the Beis Yosef was described then as he is, in fact, now. The Maron shall call Yisrael. You know, you talk about the Mishnah Berurah. What do you think the Mishnah Berurah is on? Everything comes from there. Everything. So when you have that kind of level where a Maggid is talking to you all the time, it's a different story. But for the, I wouldn't use the word average, for the Ben Torah, for the person who cares about learning, it's the constancy of the marriage that matters. And when you combine that with the words of the Rambam, you understand very well that what's going to make the person, what's going to, I use the word, release the person from the clutches of the other fantasy, is the fantasy of constancy. It's not going to be the fantasy of the peak pleasures. Because it has to overwhelm you and fill you. And you can't have that today it's here and tomorrow it's not there. So it comes out very interesting. Someone would have asked some of us, maybe even me, what really makes you high? What makes you excited about learning? So I would say, you know, a Perek Mishnayos every day. No, really. But you see, the Ayelus Ahavim is Ba'avasa Tishke Tomit. You have to have the Ba'avasa Tishke Tomit. And that's what the Rambam meant also. If he immerses himself, it has to be a perpetual immersion. And the perpetual immersion is only Shaykh with Pshat. It's a very interesting idea. So that's what the Goyin says. And the next, just finish. I just want to finish with the next pasuk. I always saw pasuk chaf as a tremendous plaintive. There's a sadness to pasuk chaf. You know what the sadness is? I told you once I had a maisa. There was this fellow who was a drug addict, and his brother called me. He had gone to therapists, and he was in jail. He had alamitis, and he was sitting there catatonic a whole day. And his brother calls me up because I once had a connection to him many, many years before when he was a little boy. He says, Rabbi, you're the only one that can help. I said, are you kidding? He's gone to psychiatrists and psychologists. He was in a detox. He's been through all of this and he's still the same. And you expect me, almost a total stranger, to help? He says, Rabbi, are you telling me you're not going to help? I said, son. But his brother's devotion was Neiriva Oyim. I never saw anything like it. Not a frum fellow, the brother. But his Mesiris Nefesh was Nairavai. Took him into his house. Anyway, I went there and I started talking to him. I'm talking and talking. When I walked in, he raised one eyebrow of recognition. That's about it. No hello, no shalom aleichem, no how are you, no who are you. Garnished. One eyebrow. And I'm talking to the wall. I'm talking to a catatonic person. It was the most horrible and depressing thing. And I'm talking and I'm talking, and you remember this and you remember that, and you're such a cute boy. And I remember you were walking the dog, this big Alaskan Malamute, it was twice as big as the boy. I was trying to, every tachbula, I mean, I don't have such a big arsenal, but whatever was in there, I tried to pull out. All of my weaponry was to no avail. And then I was getting also sicker by the minute. There was a stench in the room. It was no revolume. Bekitza, The only companion he had was a very sick old dog that was so sick that the smell, the odor that came from him was shreklach. And it filled the entire apartment. Kids, I had to get out. I told him, listen, put on your jacket. We're going downstairs. So we went downstairs and I took him on a walk. Oh, Hashem, the fresh cold air started waking me up. And finally, and I'm talking weiter, another 10, 15 minutes, to no avail. Finally, I don't know what seized me to say this, but this is the point that I'm going to make. I slammed him again. There was a yard there with a chain link fence around it, maybe a school playground or something. Because I slammed his body just to wake him up. I slammed him against the fence and I said, listen, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, it says, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you a choice. There's Chayim Ves Hatoiv and there's Mavis Ves Hara. Ubacharta Bachayim Levan Tichya Ata Vizarecha. So I said, the Ribbono Shel Olam gets on his hands and knees and he starts begging you, please choose Chayim. Imagine a person is choking and somebody comes with oxygen and he comes and he knocks on the door and he says, please let me in, I have oxygen. And ain't koil ve'einayna. Nobody lets you in. So you say to the person, let me in, I have oxygen. So if you have a person that never really experienced Mavis, that he never really understood what Ra does to a person, then you can say he's still living in that fantasy. So he doesn't understand that oxygen helps. He doesn't understand what oxygen is. So he doesn't open up the door. But you, who lived and died 1,000 times, you also, Hashem has to beg you. Hashem has to get on his hands and knees and beg you, that you know what is Mavis and Ra. That's what I told him. All of a sudden, like somebody would wake up from the fog, like somebody had an amnesia and suddenly remembered. Suddenly he came back to life. I never saw anything like it. But if you want to know what coming back to life means, the next day he went to a yeshiva for Bali Tshuva, and 6 months later he was learning Maseches Psachim Be'iyun. Pilei Ployim. I'm telling you, I never had such an experience in my life. So I was thinking to myself, look at this pasuk. Right before the pasuk says, Ayeles Ahovim V'yalas Chaim. In other words, there's nothing better in the world. And look what the Ribbono Shel Olam has to say to you, to Shlomo HaMelech, the next pasuk, the very next pasuk, Pasuk Chof, in Perek Hay. V'lama tishke b'ni v'zara u'sechabek cheik nachriya. You notice the difference between that pasuk and the psukim before? Psukim, if the psukim say, don't go to an isha zara, don't get ensnared by the cheik nachriya. But the pshat is, you don't know what ayelas ahavim is. But now that you know what ayelas ahavim, it doesn't say don't, it says, why should you? How can you? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, you've seen it. You've seen what Torah is. You understand what ava tishke tamid means. And still you go to a cheik nachriya. How could you? How could you chase after such a fantasy when you've had Torah? And that, there's such a poignance to this pasuk. There's such a sadness to it. Because the bottom line is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is still begging. He's always begging us. So we should be zeicha taka to be lilmod olamid with that kind of constancy of akeres habayis, of avos tishke tamid, pshat.